they croon, the ancient ones, the time has come again. Choose now, they croon, beneath the moon, beside an ancient lake. Enter again the sweet forest, enter the hot dream, come with us. Everything is broken up and dances. Scattered on dawn's highway bleeding, ghosts crowd the young child's fragile eggshell mind.
James Chatchett.
As close as I can get it.
Making love to a vampire with a monkey on my knee. The pond shines dry like a lady's compact. Lilies leap like flat green hearts. White heart squirting yellow pollen cocks. Ferns ran like tool spades, fossils away from rocks. Bees echoed dark carbon hums that dashed in nothing. Gnats fucked my ears and nostrils, hit my brain like bones and numb to nothing. Wings stuck on liquid bones. Making love to a vampire with a monkey on my knee. The moon poured hollow down my milky leg. Splash still and move. The wind beat down the willows and pricked the needle vine. The monkey moved to first shadow. Its soot tail curled in twos. Its lips smile needles. Open, glistened in the dew. Red berries dangled like a dream of rubies too. Snot muscles ran down her ivory chin, and tooth within. A locket, a pin held faster than my love, my pocket deep within. And senses dangled a chain that clasped me to her then. The messenger spoke the wind that blows between our time. I sense you then in whispers spin, in flowing silver dust around the pointed pin, sent to nothing. God, please fuck my mind for good. Making love to a vampire with a monkey on my knee. White cloth bones pile up light thrown blades. Rags and skull, scoop soil cracks, drains, streams. Please take my hand and join me. Too soon its clutches gleam. Making love to a vampire with a monkey on my knee. Death be damned, life.
Ah! may dispense with the pleasantries, Commander. I'm here to put you back on schedule.
You like drugs, don't you?
I love drugs.
Rutherford Institute, here is John Whitehead.
Remember the candy you ate as a kid? Fizzies, wax lips, candy cigarettes, candy buttons, atomic fireballs, BB bats, bubblegum cigars, and lemon drops were all the rage at one time. But as more schools fall prey to zero-tolerance policies, the sweet concoctions of childhood are fast becoming bitter pills to swallow for today's young people. For example, one six-year-old Colorado boy was treated to a sour experience after he was caught sharing a lemon drop with a fellow student. After calling an ambulance and the local fire department, school officials suspended the boy from school for a half a day under the school's zero-tolerance policy for illegal drugs. The point of law is our Fifth Amendment. The right to due process, especially in the form of common sense in the classroom, is one of your first liberties.
This has been a public service announcement from the Rutherford Institute. For a free book about your first liberties, visit www.rutherford.org or call toll-free 888-287-1787.
If I could have a heart to heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart to heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything boys, school.
Cutting and burning.
Clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart to heart with my dad.
If it were real heart to heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
Just listen and be supportive.
Probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart to heart. I just want to talk.
Cutting and burning in my life made the pain that was going on in my mind real.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Carrie intentionally burned her arms with a curling iron.
Cutting and burning in my life made the pain that was going on in my mind real.
She got help and tries to help others.
Just listen and be supportive, but also don't enable the person to feel sorry for themselves and to keep going downhill. Try to stay away from that by encouraging them. How can you go forward? What do you need to do to make something positive out of this?
Who needs you to be supportive? From the Mennonite Churches and Faith and Values Media.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford. This is the Tears of the Gods sound collage. I'm your host, Edward Buchert, and we are celebrating Halloween. We've got a double feature for you. Wendy Carlos's Beauty and the Beast album and local band Township with their debut album, having a number of wonderfully appropriate Halloween songs. So we began that set with John 5, an instrumental, Dead Man's Dream from his Vertigo album. And then Wendy Carlos, Incantation, with Susan Blackmore's TED Talks about memes and teams. Very scary 2008 TED Talk. And then Jim Morrison, Ghost Song. Captain Beefheart and the Magic Band gave us Vampire Suite. Yeah, what a weird song, was it? Song and sound effects? Some singing too. I found that on Songs in the Key of Z, the curious universe of outsider music. Definitely a weird album, but a very cool compilation of, yes, weird and strange and curious songs. Then Slayer, Spirit in Black from their Seasons in the Abyss album. Not exactly something to wake up and begin your cheerful day with. Although for some people, I suppose. And then two public service messages. One canonically original version from John Whitehead and the Rutherford Institute, and then a mashup I made of a public service announcement called Heart to Heart from the Mormons, their home front collection of PSAs, mixed up with something from the Mennonite media, Cutting and Burning. Backing me up right now is the Land of the Loops, a once local Boston project. This is I Dream of Ghosts. So we're going to go off on a little bit of a tangent, but a wonderfully local one and very artistic. anarchist journalist, sonic montage maker extraordinaire Chuck Yu produced a news report about last weekend's Honk Fest here in Somerville, Davis Square, and it was also in Cambridge, a Harvard Square march around town. And we're going to play that for you right now, and then we'll be back with some more music. Take it away, Chuck Yu.
I'm Aaron Michael. I'm a student at BU, and so this is my second time coming to Honk, and I absolutely love the vibe and how excited everyone is, and then also that everyone's here for a good cause.
I'm David Smith. I live outside of Davis Square in Somerville. I've been coming to Honk for 10 years now, and it's, to me, one of the highlights of the year culturally in the whole area. It's great to see people out having fun, dancing and singing along to these marching bands. It's just great, and you see the whole community of Somerville coming out. It's wonderful.
Yolanta Cavalco. I work for Tufts University Department of Community Health. And I think the Funk Festival is the coolest thing on earth.
I'm Jamil Simon. I have a company called Spectrum Media. And what I love about Honk is the spontaneity and the fact that people come from all over the world. We met a band member from Brazil. And it's amazing. It's just amazing. And it makes me happy to live in Somerville.
Hello, my name is Gen Z, and this is my 12th year at Honk. It just really brings everyone together through the power of music, getting us off of our couches and out into the streets. Just really happy to be volunteering today to help keep this going. So it takes a village to make something like this happen, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
That was just a few of the thousands of people who filled Davis Square on Saturday, October 12th to enjoy the music, the scene, and take part in the 14th annual Honk Festival. Bands came from around the country, and indeed the world, to participate. The Forward Marching Band has been making the trip from Madison, Wisconsin for 9 years now.
We're the Forward Marching Band. We're from Madison, Wisconsin. We have a long history of doing activist protests. We came together, you may remember, a few years back when there was a governor in Wisconsin who stripped away power from our public unions. Yeah, he's gone now. That's the good news. But we started back in those times, and so this is a song that we have played ever since then to support our unions. It's called Power in a Union, and if you know it, you can sing along.
My band name is Norm, and I'm with the Forward Marching Band. We're from Madison, Wisconsin. We've been to Honk for several years now, and we love it because it's so nice to be able to commune with like-minded people in this community of musicians and activists. We get to have fun. We get to bring joy to people. We get to spread the message of progressivism to people, and it fills our hearts to see this crowd full of people who respond to what we're trying to say here and just bring joy to everyone.
And you get to dress up in fancy costumes.
Absolutely. That's definitely a fringe benefit.
There is power in a factory, power in the land, power in the hands of the workers. But it all amounts to nothing if together we don't stand. There is power.
I'm from Madison, Wisconsin with Forward Marching Band. And I just like Honk. It's so great. It's like activist and music, and I'm really good at the activist stuff, and music is also fun. So that's good. Yeah.
My name is Anna Purnell. By day, I'm a faculty member at Technical College. I teach English there, but I do this for love and for joy, and because it lets us be to do something positive in very negative times. That moves people and excites them. And we're able to support this wide variety of actions like, you know, climate change and kinds of protests that make a difference and matter, but to bring joy to.
The Extraordinary Rendition Band is another regular at Honk Fest. They're from Providence, Rhode Island, and in the midst of their set, they broke into a popular protest chant.
Show me what democracy looks like!
This is what democracy looks like!
Show me what democracy looks like!
This is what democracy looks like!
Show me what democracy looks like!
This is what democracy looks like!
Activism is certainly a key part of Honk.
Thank you, everybody. We're the Extraordinary Rendition Band from Providence, Rhode Island. Stick around. More great music coming up next.
My name's Madison. We're students at Boston University, grad students in the special education department, and we're trying to get signatures to stop electric shock on people with disabilities. And this is the place to do it. I mean, Honk is such a special place to get everybody together that is interested in making change, you know, whether it's big or small, and getting everybody to come together for so many causes is, I mean, it's truly awesome.
My name's Elaine. I was just looking at the extinction exhibit that says I am dying, but I was saying that it's still a positive day and it's very gratifying to see all the beautiful people and dogs and babies and all the color, and it's really a beautiful day.
It was a beautiful day and night and weekend. Pleasure Rara provided a drone type sound rather than the more typical brass sound. One of the new additions this year was the Brass Queens, an all-female band from Brooklyn, New York. Dancing my way through the streets of Davis Square, Somerville, I am Chuck Rosina.
Chuck, you, for that wonderful report on what went on at Honk Fest 2019. So, we got a little over a half hour left before Diego will be coming in to fill in for Savoir Faire. And in that time, I am going to play for you the final piece from Wendy Carlos's Beauty and the Beast of this evening. It's called Just Imaginings. And then I'm going to play two ghost songs for you. One from New Order called Love Vigilantes. And the first time I heard this song, I thought, by listening to the lyrics as I did in a normal kind of way, that it was about a soldier who was returning home on a plane. And when he got home, he saw his wife had received a telegram saying that he was dead, and that's why she was crying there on the floor. And I thought it was just some incredible bureaucratic screw up. And then my dear friend Nick pointed out to me that it could also be understood as the guy really did die and he was coming back as a ghost. That's kind of scary. Well, it's a Halloween theme for sure. And then I'm going to play for you what may be one of my, what is one of my finest single song sound collage remixes, La Tigra's TKO. And I mixed in some real world clips from Nicole Simpson when she was calling the LA Police Department before OJ killed her, when he was at her back door banging, saying, "Let me in, let me in." And I didn't realize it until after I had mixed that whole song up with the way that the lyrics worked, that it could also be interpreted as Nicole Simpson's ghost coming back to haunt OJ after he killed her. And the original La Tigra lyrics just make so much sense about that, like following him around and being able to eat glass and him not being able to see. And so that's coming up in our final set of the evening. And oh yeah, backing me up right now is Jack Malmsteen, and this song is called Satan Takes a Holiday. But well, you're not going to be hearing but more than a few seconds of it, because this is Wendy Carlos and Just Imaginings on the Tears of the Gods sound collage. WMFI in Medford. Thank you.
think of it this way. Imagine a world full of brains and far more memes than can possibly find homes. The memes are all trying to get copied, trying in inverted commas, i.e. the shorthand is, that's the shorthand for, if they can get copied, they will. They're using you and me as their propagating a copying machinery, and we are the meme machines. Now, why is this important? Why is this useful, or what does it tell us? It gives us a completely new view of human origins and what it means to be human. All conventional theories of cultural evolution, of the origin of humans and what makes us so different from other species, all other theories explaining the big brain and language and tool use and all these things that make us unique, are based upon genes. Language must have been useful for the genes. Tool use must have enhanced our survival, mating, and so on. It always comes back, as Richard Dawkins complained all that long time ago, it always comes back to genes. The point of memetics is to say, oh no, it doesn't. There are two replicators now on this planet. From the moment that our ancestors, perhaps 2.5 million years ago or so, began imitating, there was a new copying process. Copying with variation and selection. A new replicator was let loose. And it could never be, right from the start, it could never be that human beings who let loose this new creature could just copy the useful, beautiful, true things and not copy the other things. While their brains were having an advantage from being able to copy lighting fires, keeping fires going, new techniques of hunting, these kinds of things, inevitably they were also copying putting feathers in their hair or wearing strange clothes or painting their faces or whatever. So you get an arms race between the genes, which are trying to get the humans to have small economical brains and not waste their time copying all this stuff, and the memes themselves, like the sounds that people made and copied, in other words, what turned out to be language, competing to get the brains to get bigger and bigger. So the big brain on this theory is driven by the memes. This is why in the meme machine, I called it memetic drive. As the memes evolve, as they inevitably must, they drive a bigger brain that is better at copying the memes that that are doing the driving. This is why we've ended up with such peculiar brains, that we like religion and music and art. Language is a parasite that we've adapted to, not something that was there originally for our genes on this view. And like most parasites, it can begin dangerous, but then it co-evolves and adapts, and we end up with a symbiotic relationship with this new parasite. And so from our perspective, we don't realize that's how it began. So this is a view of what humans are. All other species on this planet are gene machines only. They don't imitate at all well, hardly at all. We alone are gene machines and meme machines as well. The memes took a gene machine and turned it into a meme machine. But that's not all. We have new kind of memes now. I've been wondering for a long time, since I've been thinking about memes a lot, is there a difference between the memes that we copy, the words we speak to each other, the gestures we copy, the human things, and all these technological things around us? I have always, until now, called them all memes. But I think, I do honestly think now we need a new word for technological memes. Let's call them techno memes or teams. Because the processes are getting different. We began, perhaps 5,000 years ago, with writing. We put the storage of memes out there on a clay tablet. But in order to get true teams and true team machines, you need to get the variation, the selection, and the copying all done outside of humans. And we're getting there. We're at this extraordinary point where we're nearly there, that there are machines like that. And indeed, in the short time I've already been at TED, I see we're even closer than I thought we were before. So actually, now the teams are forcing our brains to become more like team machines. Our children are growing up very quickly, learning to read, learning to use machinery. We're going to have all kinds of implants, drugs that force us to stay awake all the time. We'll think we're choosing these things, but the teams are making us do it. So we're at this cusp now of having a third replicator on our planet. Now, what about what else is going on out there in the universe? Is there anyone else out there? People have been asking this question for a long time. We've been asking it here at TED already. In 1961, Frank Drake made his famous equation. But I think he concentrated on the wrong things. It's been very productive, that equation. He wanted to estimate N, the number of communicative civilizations out there in our galaxy. And he included in there the rate of star formation, the rate of planets, but crucially, intelligence. I think that's the wrong way to think about it. Intelligence appears all over the place in all kinds of guises. Human intelligence is only one kind of a thing. But what's really important is the replicators you have and the levels of replicators, one feeding on the one before. So I would suggest that we don't think intelligence, we think replicators. And on that basis, I've suggested a different kind of equation, a very simple equation. N, the same thing, the number of communicative civilizations out there we might expect in our galaxy. Just start with the number of planets there are in our galaxy. The fraction of those which get a first replicator. The fraction of those that get the second replicator. The fraction of those that get the third replicator. Because it's only the third replicator that's going to reach out, sending information, sending probes, getting out there and communicating with anywhere else. Okay, so if we take that equation, why haven't we heard from anybody out there? Because every step is dangerous. Getting a new replicator is dangerous. You can pull through. We have pulled through, but it's dangerous. Take the first step. As soon as life appeared on this earth, we may take the Gaian view. I loved Peter Ward's talk yesterday. It's not Gaian all the time. Actually, life forms produce things that kill themselves. Well, we did pull through on this planet. But then, a long time later, billions of years later, we got the second replicator, the memes. That was dangerous, all right? Think of the big brain. How many mothers do we have here? You know all about big brains. They're dangerous to give birth to, agonizing to give birth to. My cat gave birth to four kittens purring all the time. Slightly different. But not only is it painful, it kills lots of babies, it kills lots of mothers, and it's very expensive to produce. The genes are forced into producing all this myelinate, all the fat to myelinate the brain. Do you know, sitting here, your brain is using about 20% of your body's energy output for 2% of your body weight. Well, it's a really expensive organ to run. Why? Because it's producing the memes. Now, it could have killed us off.
It's just good, clean fun. Keeps them out of pool halls.
Yesterday, about how we're the only one in this branch left. What happened to the others? Could it be that this experiment in imitation, this experiment in a second replicator, is dangerous enough to kill people? Well, we did pull through, and we adapted. But now we're hitting, as I've just described, we're hitting the third replicator. And this is even more dangerous. Well, it's dangerous again. Why? Because the teams are selfish replicators and they don't care about us or our planet or anything else. They're just information. Why would they? They are using us to suck up the planet's resources to produce more computers and more of all these amazing things we're hearing about. how it seems to us. Think teams spreading because they must. We are the old machines. Now, are we going to perform? What's going to happen? What does it mean to perform? Well, there are kind of two ways of perform. One that is obviously happening all around us now is that the teams turn us into team machines. With these implants, with the drugs, with us merging with the technology. And why would they do that? Because we are self-replicating. We have babies. We make new ones. And so it's convenient to figure out. Where the other option is viable, although it's closer, I heard this morning it's closer than I thought it was, where the team machines themselves will replicate themselves. That way, it wouldn't matter if the planet's climate was utterly destabilized and it was no longer possible for humans to live here, because those team machines, they wouldn't need, they're not squishy, wet, oxygen-breathing, warmth-requiring creatures. They could carry on without us. So those are the two possibilities. The second, I don't think we're that close. It's coming, but we're not there yet. The first, it's coming too. But the damage that is already being done to the planet is showing us how dangerous the third point is. That third danger point, getting the third replicator. And will we get through this third danger point like we got through the second and like we got through the first? Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. I have no idea.
That was an incredible talk.
Thank you. I scared myself.
The survivors of the nuclear fire called the war Judgment Day. They lived only to face a new nightmare. The war against the machines.
I would die and I can't you stand up so I can get on my knees?
You've been listening to the Tears of the Gods sound collage here on WMFO in Medford, Tufts freeform community, and even sometimes educational radio. Like this evening, where else are you going to hear TED Talks excerpted and mixed up with music? Well, on my show, you will. Yes, that was the final segment of Susan Blackmore's outstanding 2008 TED Talk on memes and teams, overlaid on Wendy Carlos's Just Imaginings from Beauty and the Beast. And then we heard the Addams Family theme as originally performed by Vic Mizzy. I got that on TV Guide's 50 all-time favorite TV themes. And then Apollo 440, The Machine in the Ghost. And then my remix of La Tigra's TKO with real world audio clips from Nicole Simpson when she was calling up the LAPD with O.J. Simpson banging at the back door. And as I mentioned before, I realized after I had remixed that up with all of those clips that the remix song is really about Nicole Simpson's ghost coming back to haunt and taunt OJ after he killed her. So thanks so much for tuning in. I'm not sure whether I'm going to be here next week or not, but in any case, have a safe weekend this time around, and a safe weekend during the big holiday festivities. Savoir Faire is not coming in this evening, but instead we have two brand new WMFO DJs, and they're going to push some buttons for you. Yeah, push the buttons here on WMFO in Medford.